John Bollinger with Premier Guitar, and I'm backstage at the Bridgestone, and I'm with punk funk bass guru Tim Comerford. Man, Tim, I know you're doing two gigs a day, so thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Into it.
Yeah,
it's all about music, so I like playing music, and I don't complain.
Yeah.
I'm into talking about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, we were talking earlier. I know you're a huge mountain bike guy, and I know a lot of the, you know, our fellow musicians are into it too, especially the traveling ones. What bike do you travel with?
I travel with a suspension, you know, a really nice Trek suspension mountain bike, you know, and it's like, I feel like it's a Swiss Army knife of bikes. You can ride the road, ride a trail, mess around on staircases or what have you. Yeah. And
you rode here to the venue today, right?
I didn't ride to the venue, but I rode this morning for a while and rode from the hotel and just kind of did some urban assault. And then yesterday I rode out in a park, and it was great.
That's great.
Nashville's a great place to ride.
Yeah, that's great, man. Okay, just had to get that out of the way for the bike geeks out there. Yep. Now, for the bass geeks, tell me about this.
Well, when I first started playing bass, I played a Music Man Stingray, and that was like the bass that I learned on. It's sort of home bass, if you will.
Yeah.
And I recorded the first Rage record with a Music Man Stingray, and then somewhere along the line, I got a backup bass. Like when we first started, I had one bass, and then I got a backup, and it never sounded quite the same as the one that I used most often, which was like a natural wood grain Stingray. And it always kind of bummed me out whenever a string broke that I would have to get this other one, the black one, and it didn't sound the same. And it almost required re-dialing in the amp differently to get it to sound kind of similar. And that was a problem. And so somewhere along the line, I kind of switched over to Fender, and they came at me like in the 90s and said, hey, you know, you want a Fender jazz bass? And I was like, all right, cool. You know, and I hadn't really played I had a jazz bass when I was younger, but I didn't put a lot of time on it. And I got a jazz bass and made some adjustments. I have I'm into like a thumb rest. So I put like a thumb rest on it and kind of got it to where it felt good, and then never looked back and rocked the jazz bass all through the rest of Rage and into the beginning of Audio Slave. And then Lakeland is another bass company that came at me and they said, hey, would you be willing to try one of our basses? And I did. And what's interesting is their basses are sort of like a hybrid of a Music Man and a jazz bass, in that they string through body like a Music Man, and they move the pickups a little closer together than a standard jazz bass, and it kind of picked up where the Music Man Stingray pickup is, and it kind of got into more of that tone. And I'm trying to think of what else they did. They have the tapered tuning keys and different things that are kind of like a Music Man, even though they kind of look like jazz basses and they feel like jazz basses. So I played those for many, many years after, you know, for 7 or 8 years. And then here recently, Brian Ball from Ernie Ball came at me and said, hey, you want to try out a new Music Man? And I was like, sure. So I got one, and I'm a big acoustic electric guy. Like when I'm at home, I don't really play through an amp. I just play acoustic, that way. And I played it and I was blown away. I mean, I really, like, there's no one thing about Fender and even Lakeland was there's sometimes some sharp edges on pickups that I would always take pickups out and kind of soften the edges so there's not anything sharp that hurts my hands or anything. And these basses are just so smooth and so soft, you know, the feel of them, everything. And I love this spot, you know, this sort of feels like home base, you know, this Music Man spot right there between the screws. And I don't know, man, they're great. They switched over to a 6-bolt neck. The truss rod adjustment's really easy. You just stick like an Allen key in there and you can turn it like that, as opposed to like trying to ram an Allen wrench inside there and jacking up your pick guard or whatever. And And these are not the string through body, though these that I use for the Prophets are all string through with a standard like Music Man old school bridge with the mutes on it and that sort of thing. And so I love these basses. I love the way they feel, and I love this two pickup Music Man. I'd never used that before, and so this is the first time I ever tried using a what they call the Music Man HH. And so you can adjust between just this right here, or if you go here, it's this and this. If you go here, it's both pickups. If you go here, it's just this. If you go here, it's just this right here.
Oh, so that's great.
It's pretty neat. I just keep it on the middle.
That's where you live for the most part.
Yeah, I'm just in the middle. I haven't even really delved into it too much.
So is it all stock?
It is all stock outside of this thumb rest, you know, and that's it, you know, and that's it's just a beautiful instrument, and they do these necks on it that I love.
Right. There's like no finish on it, or like an
Is awesome. This is what they call roasted maple.
Yeah.
And they take a chunk of maple and they put it in an oven and cook it, so it like literally removes all the moisture and anything like that, and then the wood takes whatever shape that it would take once the moisture's gone, and then they make the neck. And it's just, it feels so good. It's so nice. And you know, with other unfinished necks, you sweat on it, it get into like a moisture rich environment, and you can start to feel the grain a little bit, and then you might have to go back over it and smooth it out with some steel wool or something like that. But these things are like, they're not finished, but they almost feel like they have a finish on them, and they're just beautiful. And this color is all the way through the wood, so it's not like it's ever going to wear off.
And great.
It's not stained or anything like that. It's just the way it looks, you know. And
I
love these basses, man. Yeah. Love them. And then the black hardware, like this is something I never thought. I've always been like a sort of a chrome hardware, sort of classic, you know, vintage looking bass guy. But like, I'm digging this right here with the black hardware, you know, and this one strings through body. It's an unbelievable.
Do you feel a lot of a difference between the top loader and the string through the body?
I do. I think string through the body is, I think it's better. It resonates more. Yeah. I just think it's better. I feel it more in the instrument. I really like a heavy bass. And so I'm telling you, like, just to have a solid string through body, super heavy chunk of ash with a nice maple neck, it's like a really solid connection. And I feel it and I enjoy it.
You almost kind of feel it in your body when you're playing it, like they resonate right
into it. It really does. I mean, and then the other thing about these basses that I dig is they have this intonated nut.
Oh, really?
Which is badass, man. And it's like the nut is, you can see it's angled.
Oh, okay.
It's not a straight nut like most guitars and basses. This has got an intonation to it. So it really affects the intonation of the string from like, say, the fifth fret up, you know, like it's just perfect. There's no dead spots, nothing, you know. It's like incredible. Really incredible instruments, and I can't tell you how cool that it was to get back on these, and how cool that they've been. You know, they've just been like, I can't believe I have this many. I'm embarrassed that I have this many basses on tour. I really am.
Normally, you're a big deal.
I don't feel like I'm a big deal, but like obviously something's going on. Like in the past, it's always been like four basses. So, you know, bass for drop D tuning and a backup, a bass and E and a backup. And now here I am with 10 basses.
That's great.
It's unbelievable.
All right, Tim, now we're in amp land.
Yep.
Tell me about this rig.
Well, this is a, I don't know what year this thing is, but this is a, they had the Blue Line SVT, and then they had the Black Line SVT, and then the next version was this Black Line that goes in here. And I think this is probably like a 75 or 76 SVT. And the thing about them is I've been getting them on Craigslist. I've been just like geeking out on them.
Oh, really?
And they're the best. And even if you get one and maybe it doesn't have the original tubes are always better because they don't make tubes like they used to. That's
right.
For sure. And, but even if you have to put new tubes in it, there's something about these old SVTs that I've tried so many different amps, and nothing touches that. Like you get this and there's tons of headroom. I can hit as hard as I want, and I feel like there's always headroom. And
right.
I love that. And I think they're the best heads you can get. And so I use this for my clean sound. This is a regular 810 Ampeg Pro Series 810. These are like incredible. They weigh like over 200 pounds, these 18-inch. You can see how thick the plywood
right.
is. The plywood is this thick. It's
right.
a 13 ply.
Bulletproof.
Unbelievable. You can just kill someone with that thing.
Do you even put them in a case or just roll
like
that? I
don't, you know, I just, you can see they're getting beat up and I kind of like it.
Yeah.
But they're just unbelievable. They're lead weights and they have, the magnets are almost the same size as the speaker. And
oh, that's great.
They're just super loud and super punchy and they don't make them anymore. You know, they quit making them. And I think it's because they were just, they're so unbelievably heavy, you know?
Yeah.
And
what's amazing with the house, you know, you're pumped through the house, but out in front, you can really hear you coming off the stage.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's like,
yeah, I mean,
it's,
I'm lucky that I got a sound guy who also plays bass.
Yeah.
So like
yeah.
That's pretty cool. But,
yeah, that's
so
good.
That's
okay.
That. This,
so that's
this
clean.
Amp for the clean sound, if you want to call it clean, because my clean sound is pretty ragged, you know, but it is the clean sound. And then I use the SVT2 Pro, which I've always used, and I've been trying some other heads here recently, but this head's great because it's got a gain and a volume, so you can like overdrive it with the gain, and then it's got this drive knob on it, which I'm not even using right now, but like sometimes I do use it, and so it's sort of, it's great for distortion, you know. The amp itself is going to distort depending on where you put the gain and where you put that drive, and I add distortion to it, but like that's there. And with this, with Walkrat, it's these two amps on all the time. I don't add this in or take it away. It's always just a pretty ragged distorto bass sound.
Yeah, that kind of blend of semi-dirty and dirty.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, it's
and
great.
And then this thing is just something I've always had with me. You know, I've since Audio Slave, I got this tuner, this Peterson tuner, and it's got like every note down here. I get confused if you. You know, like all the other, they're
right,
all there.
Right.
And I'm like, whoa, there's way too many notes there. So the notes that I need are right here, you know, and we drop D tuning and regular standard tuning, and then we go down a half step. So, you know, we're either in C sharp or D sharp.
Right.
You know,
and you're switching basses throughout the night.
For those different tunings, you know, that's it. Yeah. So that's basically it, man. I just feel like this is really the holy grail as far as I'm concerned of bass amps, you know. It's just, I don't think you can get into anything that works better than this.
Killer.
And this one, I believe this one has the original tubes in it, you know, and that's, again, back in the day, you know, like Magnavox and GE made the tubes,
right.
And those tubes, the tubes they make today just aren't the same. And, you know, there was a moment in time where Russia, you could get good tubes from Russia,
right.
But that's not even happening anymore. Ever since they quit making the MIG jet. I think the MIG jet was all tube.
Oh, really?
So that's why the tubes were great there in Russia for a while, because they made their jet out of all tubes. And
wow.
So like, this is a holdover from the MIG era.
Military technology, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, very cool. Let's talk about your pedal board.
Well, I mean, this is a mixture of store-bought stuff and stuff that I've made. This pedal right here is a distortion unit that I've made, and this was actually my backup. The main one is on my other pedal board, but this one doesn't quite sound the same, and over the years I've tried to eliminate that from my setup. In other words, I get a really good sound and I'm like, okay, that sounds good, now let's just hear what this sounds like when this, and it always sounds better. So this is my own thing. It's like
That's
my
great.
Secret recipe, and I've never really let the cat out of the bag on what it really is. But this
total
is
mystery.
The tinkerer in me, the geek, the electronics geek in me, is all about this. And I will say this: it sort of started off as roughly a wah-wah pedal. It started as a wah-wah pedal,
oh, wow.
And it became a distortion pedal.
That's
and it's
great.
You know, it's required a soldering iron and a few other things to get it to where it is right now. So that's my own special distortion pedal. And this is just an AB box that you can see I don't use this button. I'll put zip ties on whatever I don't use. But I'm ready to use it. And it's got an out, this, so it's like when this is off, it's just the clean amp. When
okay.
this is on, it's both amps. So I leave it on all the time. And if this one were on, I would have something coming out of here and going into a third head. And I'm actually in search of another 210. They make it a 210 inch cabinet version of this, and I can't wait to find one, but you can't,
oh,
I can't find them anywhere.
Then all you people in the interwebs, if you have one of those,
hit
them, put in the comments
section.
Seriously,
man, I'll buy it off you. It's called a Ampeg PR210H.
Okay.
I'm looking for one, you know, and then I would bring another head into this van
and
actually evolve the sound a little bit. So I'm waiting for that. So anyways, that's my AB box. And then I have this little line driver, which I've been using. I've used this one for years, and it works great. And all it does is drive this pedal a little bit more. This pedal's not quite loud enough without it. So like this just gives it a little bit more volume and it makes it fit where I need it to fit, like in the sound. And I've been using the orange, I forgot what kind, what it's called, the orange, it's like four stroke pedal or something. It's their driver pedal, which works really great. And I might actually bring it into this pedal board eventually. And so there's that. And then I use this multi-comp EBS compressor, which is super cool because it's got like a few settings here. It's got like a tube simulator setting and a multi-band setting and a normal setting. And so you decide which setting that you want per what kind of bass you're using. And then the it's two knobs, so it's real easy, and it's got an internal adjustment a little bit, so you can like, you can do a couple little things internally, but it's real simple to use, and it works real good, and I like it, and it just evens everything out for me, and I've been using it a lot and digging it. And then this I just used for my in-ears for this band. This is the Ampeg SCRDI, which is really works great to even plug it into a, just to use it. I've used it through my setup and it does sound great, but I have a hard time with like a lot of knobs and things like that that can get turned from chords and stuff like that. So I just use it for my in-ears and it sounds awesome. Like in my ear, it sounds really great. And the way we set up where the amp is real close to me, I hear the amp still and I also hear the in-ears, and it's just this really great blend of both that I get the optimum sound. And this, again, this is for my vocals. TC Helicon thing, and it's just a little preamp, you know, for vocals, and it's just, it sounds really good. It's got some like slapback delay and some different things on it, and it's got this auto tune feature right here, and I just want to show you that I don't use that. It's not on. I don't really like that too much. And then I got this from the Dunlop guy, came, and I use the regular Dunlop bass wah-wah pedals and have used them for years, and he came and said, hey dude, have you tried the little tiny one? And it looks like it's made for a baby's foot, you know, and my foot is definitely not a baby's foot, but right. It works really good. It's different than a regular bass wah. It's got a different sweep on it. It sounds really cool, and I like it. And I use it just for feedback. With Walker At, we do a lot of our music is born from feedback. That's what I like to think.
Really?
To me, feedback is a very, like, it's an interesting thing. It's when the output becomes the input. And to me, it's political. Like, I look at it in a, oddly enough, in like a political sense. It's like dropping bombs on a country and then people get angry and they fight back. And it's a circular argument. And that's what feedback is. Wow. And so this thing for me is just a way to assault the audience with feedback and teach them about feedback.
Yeah.
And feedback used to be called the Larson effect before it was called feedback. This guy Larson is the one who like figured it out. And
really?
And so I teach people about the Larson effect and I show them what it is and I tell them what I think it's kind of like, and it's a big part of our set and it's a part of our music and I love it. And, you know,
that is very cool.
It's pretty neat. And this other guy, Dr. Boner of all names, he like figured feedback, took feedback to another level and said like, well, if the input is a little bit louder the output's a little bit louder than the input and it goes back in, that's really what causes it. And he's the guy that invented oscillators, and then keyboards were invented. So feedback is at the root of not just music and great music, but also at the root of, as far as I'm concerned, of war and politics and vendetta.
Yeah, that's cool. This has turned to a very interesting interview.
That's crazy that is. So that's that. That's all that. That's my feedback maker. And then this is just an AB box that, you know, I don't even know if that one works. Oh, yeah, that works. So that one, you know, just I can mute my bass with that, and that's it. And this pedal board is on all the time.
You've
got a direct box pre, and there should be a post direct box, but I think it's at the mixing board. So, like, if everything goes down, then I still have my bass is still going into the direct first before it goes to the pedal board, and then there's one that comes after the pedal board. So if the amp goes down, I still have my effects and, you know, that kind of thing. But it's pretty simple. It really is a pretty simple effects pedal board, and I'm really psyched that I don't ever have to turn anything on or off.
Right.
It's just
right, you
know, out of sight, out of mind. It's there, but I don't got to do anything to make it work. You know.
Yeah, because your tone. I mean, the way with all those really abrupt stops and the time signature change, your tone is really punchy, which I think it's got to be. So it's like, I think I can see, like, once you got it dialed in, You wouldn't want to jack it.
No.
Yeah.
But I like I said, I would love to get that other 2-10-inch cabinet and then bring another head in for like a full-on overdrive sound.
Right.
Like I think that would be cool to have another level of overdrive for this band. And with the profits, that's what I do. I use 3 heads and 3 yeah. cabinets for that reason.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the goal of this rundown. If you, who's ever got that cabinet?
PR210H Ampeg. Give me a call.
Leave it in the comments. We'll get it to him.
Yeah, I would love to get my hands on one of those.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Tim, such a pleasure, man. I know
right
you've got the shows, but thanks so much for joining us.
Dude, anytime. Loving it.
Peace
Thank
out.
You. Thank you.
Don't forget to sign up for PG Perks, your all-access pass to exclusive gear giveaways and discounts on PremierGuitar.com.